For February 2nd, 2010, this is Showbiz Sandbox, a special edition. The podcast that brings you all the dirt on the news making headlines in the entertainment world. In Los Angeles, I'm Jay Sperling Reich.
In Los Angeles, I'm Karen Woodward.
And at the beautiful Manhattan mailbox on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, I'm Michael Giltz.
There's only one mailbox in Manhattan?
No, mailbox is Mailbox Manhattan. That's the name of the company.
Oh, okay. So you're picking up your mail.
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us then. Of course, this is a special edition because we record on Mondays and the Academy would not rearrange their schedule to announce this year's Academy Award nominees on a Monday so that we could include them in our weekly podcast. Instead, they did it bright and early Tuesday morning.
Those bastards.
They'll switch next year.
Well, especially once they realize how important we are.
Ooh, I just opened up a package. I got a Blu-ray of one of our Oscar nominees, A Serious Man by Joel and Ethan Coen.
Now, that was nominated for Best Picture. This year, of course, the crop of Best Picture nominees has expanded to 10, up from 5. It's the first time since 1943, when Casablanca won, that the Best Picture nominees are 10 instead of 5.
What were they, Sperling?
As if you haven't read already. Well, of course, I'll read them in alphabetical order. There's that movie that begins with an A that Karen can't stand. Well, I was talking about A Serious Man. I don't know what you're... No, Avatar, of course, was nominated. And shockingly, or not shockingly, but certainly there was a audible gasp when it was announced, The Blind Side, Sandra Bullock's sports biopic movie. Another surprise, District 9, the sci-fi film that I said would be remembered during awards time, and everybody laughed at me, was also nominated.
Not us. Not us.
I never laugh at you, Sperling, ever.
You're laughing with me.
Always.
And Education was nominated, an English film. The Hurt Locker, of course, another favorite. Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino's movie. Precious, based on a novel Push by Sapphire. A Serious Man, as you mentioned, Michael. Up, the animated film from Pixar, and Up in the Air. This might be the first time that two films with the word up in them have been nominated for Best Picture.
Thank you for a meaningless statistic.
No, Karen, I think is a legitimate thing to talk about. It's weird. It's been bothering me ever since Up in the Air came out.
Well, you know, this year there were, I think, three movies called Nine. There was Nine the Musical, Nine the Animated Film, and some other Nine. You know, it happens all the time. You get weird multiplications like that. But what do you think of the list overall, Karen? Did you think it was weird to see 10 films rather than 5?
No, I've never had anything against the 10 films idea. I mean, that's kind of the way that the Academy Awards started, and I see no reason not to have 10. Although, then doesn't it make it sort of unfair that, you know, shouldn't we have 10 actors and 10 actresses and, you know, 10 adapted screenplay writers? I was really surprised to see The Blind Side in there. I was surprised that Star Trek was not. And I was sort of surprised that 500 Days of Summer wasn't.
Yeah. Actually, if you're going to nominate a film, then go for 500 Days of Summer over Blind Side and over, well, frankly, I was not as big a fan of Inglourious Basterds as everybody else was. So I might slot it in instead of Inglourious Basterds.
Well, I like that. That's one thing I always make people do when they say, oh, this person should have been nominated. I always say, well, which one would you take off? You have to be able to say which one you would pull. But I thought I was bummed Star Trek. I was really hoping for Star Trek. I'm really bummed that 500 Days of Summer didn't get anything. Not actor, not screenplay, not picture, not, you know, I was really hoping. But
nothing
I really wanted
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I thought was adorable in it.
That movie ran and ran and ran. It was a huge success as far as having legs at the box office. So it certainly could have been a contender. But looking at the list overall, I think it did exactly what they wanted. You brought in a lot of populist fare or a lot more popular movies here. You got some all-buzz stuff that kind of deserves to be there. If you look at it, you have the biggest picture of the year, Avatar, the top-grossing drama, which is The Blind Side, the top-grossing animated film, which is Up. You have the indie success story of the year with Precious. You have critics' favorites like Inglourious Basterds and A Serious Man and Up in the Air. You have an Education. You have District 9, which is definitely one of the best reviewed sci-fi movies. That's one of the best reviewed movies of the year. It's a striking B movie that was a huge success and got a lot of good critical notice, and I think it deserves to be there. You know, I think it's exactly what they wanted. I think it worked.
I think it absolutely worked.
If they'd had The Hangover, it would have been a trifecta of perfectness. They would have had the top comedy as well. That's the only thing missing as far as populist and audiences that you're trying to reach.
Right, and I don't think necessarily that The Hangover belongs there, and I would agree with you that it did work. And now, do you know how they are selecting the winner in this category? How the 5,775 Academy members are supposed to vote?
Yeah, they're ranking them. They all have to say what their number one choice is, and what their number two choice is, and what their number three choice is. And then here's where it gets complicated. Then they like compile all the number ones together, and then all the number twos together. Do I have that right?
Well, what they do is they create a pile for every single film. They'll create a pile for Avatar. All of the people who voted for Avatar to be the number one film, they go in that pile. They will create a pile for The Blind Side.
Right, right. Whoever voted, that is their top pick. Right.
Right. The pile,
okay.
The film with the least number of ballots at the end of that is eliminated. And, well, I should say, if one film is a runaway success and has over 50% after the initial sort, then that film will win. That's highly unlikely. So instead, what will happen is they will go to the pile with the least number of ballots in it, that film will be eliminated, and they will go to the number two choices on those ballots and put those into the stacks of the other films. And it will continue like that again
How
and again.
How bizarrely complicated.
Yeah, it's
why did they do that?
Why don't they just have them rank them and you know, have the numbers, you know, 10 points for one, 9 points for two, 8 points, you know.
It's
an interesting idea. I guess are they trying to avoid like the bland middle of the road third or fourth favorite by saying, look, if you win number one, that's it. You know, they're probably trying to avoid something like the third, fourth choice becoming the winner every time.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because this year could wind up being a bit of a surprise when Best Picture is announced because of the way these votes are being tabulated. In fact, the film that has more number two votes could actually win. So it could be a like Bush versus Gore scenario where the number two film that doesn't receive as many number one votes actually wins.
And how did they do it last year?
Oh, they just selected the film they wanted as Best Picture.
You only had one vote for one film. You didn't get to rank them or list them.
Which is, by the way, cool. How you pick Best Actor, how you pick Best Actress, how you pick Best Director, etc.
So what's going to win Best Picture, Sperling?
You know what? This year, because of the way they're tabulating these votes, there is no way I could predict it. Although, Here's what I predict. I think Kathryn Bigelow, who is nominated for Best Director, and we'll get to that in a second, will win the Best Director award. I think Avatar will win Best Picture, and here's why. I think a lot of people will pick Hurt Locker as number one, but not enough. A lot of people will pick Avatar as their number two. And therefore, when those other films get eliminated, the films with not enough ballots to continue, they will all start to fall into the Avatar pile, and Avatar will reach 50% before Hurt Locker does.
I agree.
Karen?
I totally agree. I think Bigelow will get director and Avatar will take picture.
I disagree.
Really?
Kathryn Bigelow will win Best Director, I hope and pray. If not, I hope Quentin Tarantino or Jason Reitman does. Anyone but James Cameron, Lee Daniels, anybody. But I really think she'll win Best Director. However, I think Up in the Air is a really good dark horse. You know, if you're assuming it's between Hurt Locker and the Avatar, I think Up in the Air is a very good dark horse for a couple of reasons. First of all, it got a lot of love. All three actors got nominated, screenplay, director, picture. They liked it at the PGA Awards. I mean, everybody likes the movie. I think it's one of the best movies that plays at home. Avatar doesn't play at home at all. And the biggest category of Oscar voters, we usually say, is actors. But the real truth is the biggest category of voting, the biggest voting block, is old people. Old people who sit at home and pop in their DVDs. Up in the Air plays really well at home. It's a classic traditional Hollywood movie. I think a lot of people like it, and I think it plays well at home, and I think they're really going to like it. And the people who don't like Avatar hate it. I wouldn't put it 10th on my list. And I think unless it's your number one pick, I don't think it's your number two or number three. I don't think so at all. I think if you don't love it, you hate it.
Well, you're talking
think
as
it's
a film.
A very divisive film.
But see, here's what I'm going to say to that. I think that most people, if they went out to the movies this year, they went to Avatar. And I agree, we all know, because I hate Avatar so much, that it's a polarizing movie. But I think the people who went to Avatar and loved it, like, loved it. and saw it maybe three times. I don't think they saw it at home because they knew they had to see it in a theater.
Yeah, no, they won't watch it at home. No, absolutely not.
And remember that these are people voting who are in the industry, and they sometimes tend not to think like a film critic, much the way you are, Michael, but instead they're thinking about which film advanced the art form and the business that they happen to be a part of. And that is Avatar.
And that isn't Avatar. No, it's not.
Well, now Up is, I think, the second or third animated film to be nominated for Best Picture. Beauty and the Beast was nominated, I think, in 91, 92. But it's also nominated for Best Animated Feature Film, along with Best Screenplay and Best Score.
Yeah, it's going to cancel itself out.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that, whether it would cancel itself out. And frankly, Michael, if all of the people who are voting for the Academy Awards are old people, then they should love Up. That should be their number one film. It's about, you know, an 83-year-old guy.
I totally agree.
They do. That's why it's up for Best Picture. It's the second animated film in history. And that's why it will beat out Coraline and Fantastic Mr. Fox to win Best Animated Film.
Well, we should probably move on to some of the other categories. We won't cover them all because, of course, you can look that up in, well, on any website, frankly. Actor in a leading role. Surprise, surprise, Jeff Bridges, George Clooney.
Who will win?
You think George Clooney will win?
No, Jeff Bridges will win.
Ah, okay. Colin Firth, Morgan Freeman, Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker. I was really happy to see that he was remembered when it came time to pick best actors. Is there anybody left off this list, do you think?
Can I just say the best thing that ever happened to Jeremy Renner was The Unusuals getting canceled, as much as I loved that show. Best thing that ever happened to him.
Well, and I should say that Jeff Bridges is from Crazy Heart, George Clooney for Up in the Air, Colin Firth for, I believe, A Serious Man?
Yeah.
A Single Man.
A Single Man.
Single Man. I always get those confused, too. It's the whole Up thing.
Morgan Freeman for Invictus.
Well, gay men are single, but they're not serious. That's how you remember it. It's about a gay man, so gay men are single, but they're not serious.
Then. Well, who do you think's going to win this? You already said Karen, Jeff Bridges.
Well, I agree with Karen. I agree with Karen. It's Jeff Bridges by a mile. I think the acting categories were the laziest part of the Oscars. I hate to jump ahead, but like Morgan Freeman is very lazy. Helen Mirren is very lazy. Penelope Cruz is lazy. Christopher Plummer is lazy. There are plenty of actors who could have gone in those four or five slots. There was just knee jerk. Oh, you've been around for a while. Let's give it to you again. You know, these are not even good movies or not good review. You know, it's just Morgan Freeman. They felt obliged to because he's playing Nelson Mandela. It's ridiculous. Bad movie, bad reviews, well, bad box office.
And why did they give Matt Damon a nod? I don't understand
that
either.
Okay, well, let's go through these. Actor in a supporting role, Matt Damon for Invictus, Woody Harrelson for The Messenger, Christopher Plummer for The Last Station. Yes. Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones, and Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. That's who's going to win, of course.
Right. Matt Damon should have been nominated for Best Actor for The Informant, because he was great in that, not to mention Joseph Gordon-Levitt for Best Actor. There's lots of actors in all these categories that deserve to be there. Invictus is lazy. Christopher Plummer is lazy. Stanley Tucci is lazy. Bad movie. Not an interesting. It's just, you know, very, very knee-jerk, tiresome reviews, I thought. Very knee-jerk nominations.
Well, let's move on to actresses. For actress in a leading role, we have Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side, Helen Mirren for The Last Station, Carey Mulligan for An Education, Gabourey Sidibe for Precious, Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia. Now, this one could be a toss-up between Sandra Bullock and Meryl Streep.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandy Bullock's here. Yeah.
Meryl is the bridesmaid, as always.
Okay, well then, actress in a supporting role, Penelope Cruz for Nine, a movie nobody saw. Vera Farmiga.
And by the way, she shouldn't have been the nominee. It should have been Marion Cotillard.
Okay.
Nobody should have been nominated, but yeah.
Vera Farmiga for Up in the Air. Maggie Gyllenhaal for Crazy Heart. Anna Kendrick for Up in the Air. And Monique for Precious, which of course I think Monique will win, as I told her last year.
Why is Anna Kendrick in that category?
Because she's been in that category for every other.
But she isn't good in this. I don't understand. It should have been Julianne Moore for A Serious Man or A Single Man or whichever man she was in.
Well, that one I don't object to because I thought she was good and I liked the movie a lot. But Penelope Cruz is lazy, and as are many of the actress ones.
Well, we already kind of touched on animated feature film. Of course, Up, Coraline, which was both of those were in 3D. Fantastic Mr. Fox was Wes Anderson's kind of stop motion film. The Princess and the Frog does not belong there at all, but it is there.
Should have been Cloudy with a Chance. Of Meatballs.
Well, I don't know about that either. The Secret of Kells was also nominated.
The Secret of Kells comes out, I think, in March, the wide release. So nobody knew what it was. I mean, I'd never heard of it.
Well, now Karen doesn't know about The Secret of Kells because she doesn't care about animation. But do you?
That's right.
Do you know about any of these other films?
Do I know about them?
Yeah, I mean, are you familiar with them? Have you seen them? Have you seen Up?
No, I haven't seen Up.
Have you seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Nope.
Okay, I'm not even going to go down the list because I'm going to...
You know I haven't seen any of them.
All right. Well, Michael, who do you think
Avatar was all I could handle, okay?
Which is not an animated film. Michael, who do you think is going to win Best Animated Feature Film? Michael, I think we may have lost him. Let me dial him up on... He may have lost his internet connection. I'll call him on his cell phone.
Hey there.
Hey, I guess we lost
you. We lost you.
Sorry about that. Well, that's what I get for doing working in opening mail while I talk to you.
Where were we?
Were we talking about animated film or screenplay? I have something to say about screenplays.
Well, I was going to ask you who you think was going to win animated feature film, although I think you've already said Up.
I believe Up will win. It's getting nominated for Best Picture, I think, shows the strength, though. Coraline and Fantastic Mr. Fox are really strong contenders. I think Up will win.
Okay, well, you wanted to move on to screenplay, so why don't we do that?
I was thrilled about a nomination that didn't occur. I'm so glad that Avatar did not get a Best Screenplay nomination. Thank God.
That would have been a joke.
Well, nominated for original screenplay is The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, The Messenger, A Serious Man, and Up.
Oh, and adapted screenplay?
Now, let's start with original screenplay. I think it's interesting that The Messenger was really got some attention.
Well, especially because I think the whole film was improv'd, right? There was no actual script.
I don't think so.
No, it's a screenplay written by Alessandro Kamen and Onan Moverman.
Orin Moverman, but it's interesting because they got a nod, and so did Woody Harrelson.
Well, now for adapted screenplay, once again, we have District 9. We have an education. In the Loop, which is surprising because...
What is that?
That was a Sundance movie.
That's a political satire with James Gandolfini, a British film about Slick Wag the Dog.
Right. Which is exactly what everybody said last year at Sundance when it showed, is that it was just like Wag the Dog. Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, and Up in the Air. I think Up in the Air will win this one.
I think it should. I'm so glad Nancy Meyers was not nominated. Yay.
Oh, well, good Lord. No, she shouldn't be nominated for anything. Well, I'll tell you, the thing about Avatar is it did not get nominated for Best Screenplay. If it wins Best Picture, it will be the first film in more than a decade to win Best Picture and not even get nominated for Best Screenplay. Guess what the film was? Titanic.
That's very funny.
Before that, you have to go back to The Sound of Music in the 60s for a film to win Best Picture and not win and not get nominated for Best Screenplay. So that is a very telling little marker there. And I think if you see Avatar not win some of the smaller categories like cinematography and production design, that will show weakness. And you can guess there'll be an upset, and God willing, that Hurt Locker or Up in the Air will step in there and beat it for Best Picture. So that's what you should look out for on Oscar night. Look for the weakness in those smaller categories.
Well, they're not smaller categories, but they're craft categories.
They're smaller.
Well,
yeah, meaning nobody cares about them.
Well, there's 25 awards.
I care
awards.
About them, but they're people most people haven't heard of. They're not stars, and it's not Best Picture and Director. There's no shame in saying that Best Production Design is not as big a category as Best Picture.
Well, in one of our episodes, we'll actually have to run down all of them and make predictions.
Yeah, we have to do that the week before. Here's my thing is that suggesting to the Oscar people who have a great year, they have one of the most popular films in decades. For Best Picture, along with other big, big grossing movies. So they're going to hopefully get a big bump in the ratings. Here's one thing I'd love for them to do. When they're dealing with cinematography and production design and all that stuff, say the name of the movie before you say the damn costume designer. Nobody knows who, they say, and winning for Best Sound Mixing, Michael Mangler, Tony Lambert, and Mark Ulano for Inglourious Basterds. And, they're clapping. We have no idea who it is. We have no idea what film it is. Say the name of the film and then the tech people. That way, people at home will know exactly what the hell movie won. It drives me nuts every year.
think of it this way. Then if they say the name of the movie first, then everyone's cheering and clapping, and the people's names who are actually winning get clapped over, and that's not fair to them.
Well, they know already, so they start to clap and react, but we're sitting at home going, what won? They know who these people are. We don't. And so for the sake of people at home, instead of saying Rick Carter, Robert Stromberg, and Kim Sinclair are Avatar, just say Avatar. And then say their names. That's my suggestion.
Well, a category we did not cover was directing. Avatar, of course, James Cameron was nominated. Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker. Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds. Lee Daniels for Precious. And Jason Reitman for Up in the Air. Now, this is the one that could go either to Cameron or to Bigelow, and everybody's hoping it goes to Bigelow. If Quentin Tarantino thinks he can win this one, he's...
No, I don't think he's crazy. If you're nominated, you can win. I don't think any of these are ruled out. Maybe Lee Daniels, I guess, is happy to be there. But that's only the 10th of them at one point. So I would say, other than him, I don't think it's clear that they won't win. Jason Reitman's Hollywood royalty. They loved Up in the Air. Quentin Tarantino had the biggest success of his career. SAG gave the film, you know, best acting ensemble, so the actors love Quentin. Of course they do. He gives them great, juicy roles. He had a huge success. And some sexist guy who hates James Cameron because he's a jerk but doesn't want to give it to Catherine Bigelow, he might just vote for Quentin Tarantino.
Well, what if Avatar loses visual effects and it goes to like...
Yay!
What does that mean? Somebody doesn't know how to count? It's up against District 9 and Star Trek. And Star Trek was, you know, kind of, I don't want to say run of the mill because the effects were good, but they certainly did not outpace Avatar, and District 9 was just really inventive, really creative. I mean, they're on a whole different level.
Explain why you feel that way. I mean, I guess they were okay. Maybe I shouldn't judge because I really don't. It's not my area of expertise, but, and because I hated the movie so much, it stands to reason I would hate everything about it. What was so great about the special effects?
Wait, you mean for Avatar or District 9?
District 9.
Okay, well, actually, I thought that, you know, you have Avatar on the one hand, which is using every single trick in the book and all the technology it can find to make its movie. And then you have District 9, which was a low-budget film, which had to basically use baling wire and duct tape for its special effects. And I thought that in a day and age when you could use CGI, and there was some CGI in District 9, don't get me wrong, but they used a lot of inventive methods to create beings from another planet.
Okay, given the budget constraints, I will agree with you. I will agree with you, but I'm picturing, and I thought that the aliens were probably the best part about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
But I'm picturing that big old spaceship in the sky, which looked to me like the spaceship that it was like the special effects from V, the original series that aired in the 80s. That kind of ridiculous, like, cut and paste thing that was hanging in the sky. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I'm with Sperling a little bit. I thought it was a good mix of people and creatures, and I thought it was hardly a $2 movie. I mean, it cost tens of millions of dollars, didn't it? It wasn't cheap.
$30 million?
Yeah, and it all went to special effects. They didn't pay for any of the actors, that's for sure. So, I mean, that's not exactly, you know, in the backyard. I know he did the original thing, and that's how he got the job, but you know, it's not exact pennies. But no, I thought it was very inventive and well done and clever use of the special effects. I'd love it, you know, again. Boy, if District 9 began for that, then you know it's one of the best picture. But I will defend Star Trek. I don't think it was running at all. I thought special effects were very good, great with the movie. I thought it was a terrific film. It could have gotten cinematography as far as I was concerned. That's a really interesting category, by the way. That's one where I think Avatar will lose. You've got Avatar, Harry Potter, and the Half-Blood Prince, and the cinematography and the production design were the best part of that movie. That's why it's the best one since Prisoner of Azkaban. Hurt Locker, which had great cinematography, Inglourious Basterds, which looked awesome, and The White Ribbon, which is in black and white and looks just stunning, and I think will possibly win. I think it could be White Ribbon or Hurt Locker. And if Avatar wins there, I guess it's moving on towards steamrolling to take it all.
Well, yeah, if it wins cinematography, then it's really winning for its creation of brand new cameras to shoot that film.
That seems like a tech award, but you're right. I mean, if it should it win art direction? It's all drawn. I guess
yes, it should win art direction. That's the only thing it should win.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess if it doesn't win there, we know it's really vulnerable. Young Victoria could beat it. I think everything else is pretty weak. Nine, Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, and Sherlock Holmes.
Never.
So, you know, the British costume film, those are classic art direction winners. You know, you have a nice home, a nice castle, you tend to win. So that's an area where if Avatar loses, you'll know it's going to have a bad night. Now, what about original song? Who's going to win that, Karen?
Oh, I think it'll be something from Crazy Heart.
Yeah, that's Weary Kind is the front runner. And there's also a song from Nine called Take It All, and a song from Paris 36 called Loins on Loin de Panama, and two songs from The Princess Frog by Randy Newman.
Right, and he's already won his Academy Award.
And those will cancel each other out, and nobody saw that movie. So, yeah, Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart for the win. Well, I guess
Can we just say one thing here? Can we comment on the fact that music and lyrics by Crazy Heart are by T-Bone Burnett and Ryan Bingham? Ryan Bingham is the lead, it's George Clooney's character in Up in the Air.
Oh, you're right.
Isn't that funny?
Well, we'll have to wait until, I guess, March 7th to see who wins any of these awards for real. But before that, we'll do a show where we have some predictions. And we just lost Michael again. So I guess that's a sure sign we should wrap this special edition of Showbiz Sandbox up. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can email us dirt@showbizsandbox.com, dirt@showbizsandbox.com. You can call us and leave a voicemail, 888-567-SAND. That number again is 888-567-7263.
If you want to bitch to Karen that she hates Avatar, Karen@showbizsandbox.com.
Yes, that is true. And the music you hear at the beginning and end of each of our podcasts is by MGMT, the popular indie rock group. You can find them on their website, whoismgmt.com. You can find me on celluloidjunkie.com. You can find Karen at karenwoodwardonline.com. You can find Michael at michaelgiltz.com. We're all on Twitter.
Hey, do you think that we should change our opening music from something by MGMT to something by the Zac Brown Band?
Where did that come from?
Because they won Best New Artist over MGMT at the Grammys.
That's a whole other award show.
I'm just saying.
I guess, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Until next week, play nice.